And good afternoon. Monday, January the 14th, 2019. 12 minutes past the hour, you're tuned into the Now program. Scott Spears along with you for the ride. And the last few weeks, we've been talking a lot about local politics because this year, 2019, is the year where all the city council seats are up for grabs. And this year, the mayor is also up for grabs. Last week, we had Mayor Scott Schertzer on the program. Ed McCants was on the program, who is running for mayor. And today, we are joined in the first hour by a gentleman who plans to run for First Ward council seat on the Democratic side, Kai Mead. And next hour, stay tuned, we're going to be joined by Anthony Miller in his first interview. He's the 18-year-old who's running for mayor. So we're going to find out about him, what his thoughts are, why he's doing this. Fascinating year so far for politics. But as this hour, as I said, we're joined by Kai Mead. Kai, how are you?
I'm pretty good. How are you?
Good to see you again. We haven't talked since last election. Locally, what'd you think?
It definitely didn't turn out the way we wanted it to, of course. There were a few, I think, bright spots in it and a few things we didn't like. So it's really just about going back to the drawing board and making sure that with the next election, we learn from our mistakes and keep moving forward.
Last time, there were two races that were that had party affiliation locally, the commissioner race and the prosecutor race. And neither one of the Democrats in those races cracked 40%. Rich Cordray, who was running for governor in Ohio, in Marion County, did not crack 40%. People thought he was going to be governor. Today we're swearing in Mike DeWine. By 3 points he won that election. What do you think happened?
I think Marion County voters are just always, they're hard to predict. You never, it's hard to put a pin on where they're going to go. And so anytime you get too confident on trying to say it's going to go one way or the other, they're not afraid to make you look foolish.
I used to think that local politics, the D and the R, didn't matter. But I've got to start to believe, when I look at the last 3 years, that it matters more than it used to. If you look at 2016, the amount that President Trump won Marion by was about the number that all the Republicans won Marion by, give or take. In 2018, the number of votes that Mike DeWine won Marion by was about the number that the two Republicans won Marion by. Do you think the party affiliation matters more now than it did 4 years ago?
You know, it really just depends on the race. It depends on the candidate. Sometimes some candidates are better at bringing along the other races for them. But it really just depends. It's hard to make a blanket statement on any of that kind of stuff. I just know with the first ward, we saw a little bit of a twist, and it did go Republican. But I believe it's a blue ward, and I think it'll swing back in 2019.
Talk with the mayor about this last week, and I don't believe this has ever happened. Since 2016, the Democrats have only won once in any race that was not unopposed. There were some races in 2017 where Democrats were unopposed. But in every race in which it was a Republican and a Democrat in Marion County since 2016, a Democrat has only won once.
Yeah, it's really, it just goes back to, you have to look at every race, no matter how bad it turned out for us, and think, where did it go wrong? Where can we improve? And then just making sure that with the next race, you come back better. And it's not always going to turn out the way you want it to, but if you keep improving, you're going to get it. You always have to stay with the mindset that, like, we got to keep coming at these people, and we got to keep trying to win, because we believe in what we believe, and we have to try to get that forward, whether it be on council, whether it be for prosecutor, whether it be for anything. And so that's why in 2019 you're already seeing so much enthusiasm for candidates. That's why we have candidates already having fundraisers, already planning fundraisers, and we're really ready to get to the grindstone.
Well, this is an interesting thing too, because I talked about this with you before we went on air. I've never seen a time Petitions are not due to be filed until early February, and people are already having fundraisers. We have seen this before. As a matter of fact, we saw it in 2017 where the incumbent president of city council ended up not having enough signatures to get on the ballot in 2017. Henceforth, the president of city council in 2017 had no opponent, the Democrat running. Do you have enough votes at this point to be on the ballot?
Yeah, I just have to turn them in. I'm going to get them down there real soon. I'm just excited, really, to start going out and knocking doors for votes and everything like that. I'll be on the ballot for sure, and I'm just excited.
Now, the first ward is basically the area Fair Park encompasses. For 20 years, it was Democrat. Ralph Cumston was the councilman over there. And then in 2017, as we said, Robert Landon, who I believe first time he ever ran for office, came in 2017 and defeated Ralph Cumston, and now it's been Republican for 2 years. So at this point, until we know otherwise, you'll be running against the incumbent, Robert Landon. How do you make that ward Democratic again?
You know, you have to get out and talk to voters. You have to present your ideas to them. It's really just about convincing voters that I'm going to go out there, I'm going to work. You know, like, we might not agree on everything all the time, but I'm always going to have my, you can always call me, you can always talk to me about anything, and we can work something out. It's just about showing voters that at the end of the day, I'm working for you, and that's it. There's no one behind the scenes that I have to answer to or anything like that. It's just me.
What are the issues, in your opinion, facing the first ward?
We have to look at infrastructure in the ward. We have to, to get specific about one of the things is the streetlights. I'd like to see those get new LED bulbs in there, for instance. We need to get businesses into the first ward. We need to have a business-friendly council, but also one that works with the people and is trying to improve the first ward from sidewalks to streets to everything like that. We need to have a council that's willing to go and try to get grants from CHIP grants to everything else. It's all about going out there and trying to make the first ward be good for business and then good for kids, and because we have Taft Elementary right there.
When did you first get involved in politics in Marion?
The end of 2015 is when I started to get involved. I started helping on some campaigns, started just volunteering my time whenever I could, and really just putting myself out there, doing everything that I could.
I think you said that in that time, the Democrats have to learn from their mistakes. Being around county politics during that time, what are the mistakes that have been made by the Democratic Party?
You know, it's always tough to say without getting too specific. I would say one of the things that we really have to hammer home on is staying on message. We have to tell the voters what we'd like to do, how we'd like to do it, and stick to that. And that's not to say you can't talk about what your opponent's done, what your opponent plans to do, but you really need to focus on why we need to. Someone should vote for you individually. That's one of the things, and we got to get out there and get to work early on. Sometimes we do get some of our Democratic candidates have been known to get out a little late. And I think that you see in 2019 that doesn't seem to be the case.
Well, it's interesting because obviously you, being very young, running, Tanner Hale has already announced that he plans to run in the 5th Ward on the Democratic side against Republican Leslie Cunningham. Is this the year for the young person?
This is, I believe it's the year for the young person. And now, does that mean that everybody under 30 is going to win? Who knows? But I think this is the year we have fresh energy. We've got new ideas, and we've got the work ethic, I think, to deliver the win.
What is the feeling in the Democratic Party in town at this point?
Well, I would say, if you would have asked me, say, a month ago, it probably would have been pretty glum. But I think now we're feeling pretty enthusiastic because we're looking towards 2019, and we're looking towards the election, and we're hopeful. We see the work that's already being put in, the, like I said, the fundraisers, the door knocking, everything like that already, and you can't look at it and not be hopeful.
Now, it's kind of interesting because one seat at this point would flip council back the other way, depending on what happens in the other wards. But if just one more Democrat won than Republican, it would be back to a Democratic council. How do all the people running for all the seats make that happen?
You have to have your own campaign under control. You have to be putting in the effort and working through that. And there's some races that are going to be a little bit easier than others, but it's really just about working your own campaign, working your own ward, knocking the doors, talking to voters, being authentic. And the rest kind of just writes itself. Because if I go to my voters in the first ward and I show them what I'd like to do, and I talk to them, and if they like it and they come and turn out, that's going to help races, citywide races all across the ballot. And the same thing goes for at-large candidates. If at-large candidates come into the first ward and they really like what they're hearing from them, they might be more likely to say, you know what, it's time to give these young kids a chance.
When you go to somebody's door in the first ward, what do you plan on saying to them?
I plan on saying, hi, my name's Kai Mead. I'm running for city council. I'd like to talk to you about some things I'd like to do in the community, and then ask them if they what they'd like to see done. I'd like to talk to them about, like I said, grants, sidewalk issues. One of the big things that I've heard a lot in the first ward is the dogs running around. And while city council, it might not be something that they can directly address, it's definitely something that we can help with. Whereas from helping with people knowing who to call, or just helping them with any issue, really, you have to have a council that's willing to listen, a council that's willing to put in the work, that's willing to actually have meetings when they're supposed to.
Like, do you think the current city council is effective?
No. I would say that they're not. We have meetings getting canceled frequently. There's council meetings that are stringing out issues that shouldn't take as long as they should. You have council meetings that are dysfunctional. And if you don't believe me, you can come, and it's honestly because of the Republican control. Unfortunately, The fact that we have who we have in there has made it so that our city government has not been acting as efficiently as it could be. And it goes back to who we have on council. And so that's why we do need a change in the first and in the fifth ward.
Not a lot of people come to these meetings. I don't even think 1% of the city population. So when you say that council is not effective, where are some issues and times where you've seen the current council not be effective because of Republican majority?
I'll give you one issue. We had the council was looking into changing a policy with, say you wanted to put in a back porch or something like that, you were going to have someone come look at it and follow you step by step. And our mayor said, hey, if you want to implement this code, it's 900 pages front to back. And I don't think anyone on council has read it or anything like that. And our first word councilman, I guess instead of saying, hey, you know, it's my responsibility, I get paid by the taxpayers to read this, said, he asked the crowd, does anyone want to volunteer to read this and get back to us? And to me, that's just ineffective. It's irresponsible, and it's not what a good council or good councilman does.
Why do you think he did that?
You know, I don't know. I'm running for council, so I'm not, and I'm going to school for political science, so psychology is not necessarily my thing. Why people do what they do, who knows, but but I can tell you what, it's just not something that I would do or agree with.
In the first ward, do you get the feeling that people are unhappy with their council person?
I do. Talking to the voters that I've talked to, it seems that they are ready for some change, they want a council person that's going to be there, that they can talk to, that will take a call maybe a little bit later at night that says, hey, you can, let's go look at this issue. There's something going on with a sidewalk outside your house. Let's go look at it. Let's see what we can do. Let's look at the different grant options we have, everything like that. They want someone that's going to go in, it seems to me, that's going to go in, tell the voters that they'd like to do, and then see it happen and not disappear.
Have you had any, living in the First Ward, have you had any contact or connection with the First Ward Councilman Robert Landon?
Just passing. I think we've been at a couple of the same events. We had a really good event, Trunk or Treat at Taft, that my girlfriend and I went to. And that's really about it. We've, I think, said a few words, but that's really it.
Do you think it's hard to defeat an incumbent?
You know, it is. It's a challenge. It definitely takes some work, but I think in 2019 you're going to see that a lot of our candidates are up to the challenge.
We talked about Tanner. We talked about yourself in the First Ward. Tanner's in the Fifth Ward running against Leslie Cunningham, who I believe is going to seek re-election. Again, we really won't know anything until the beginning of February. But other than Tanner and yourself, do we know of anybody else who is running for any of these seats on the Democratic side? Mayor's running for re-election.
Do you mean from a new perspective or including incumbents?
Yeah, the five Republican seats. Mm-hmm. We know you're running in the First Ward against Robert Landon. Tanner's running in the Fifth Ward against Leslie Cunningham. Mm-hmm. Do we know about any of the other Republican wards?
No, not to my knowledge.
So at this point, the only ones we're sure of are yourself and Tanner and the mayor.
As far as where you're going to have some new faces running, yeah.
And the other wards, I assume everybody's running for re-election. Have you mm-hmm. heard that somebody would not be running for re-election?
No, I haven't. It seems like we're going to have, we are definitely going to have some new faces running, but we're also going to have some of our veterans staying in.
Do you think in these other races, being a member of the Democratic Party, and you were the youngest chair in the state at one point.
Yeah.
So you look at big picture. Let's go back to the last election for one second. What was Richard Cordray's ultimate mistake in the last election, in your opinion?
That's a tough one. You know, I feel like I can't nail down anything specific. Maybe you got to get out to these counties, like Marion. We've got to have operations going, I think, a little bit earlier. Rich Cordray did an excellent job of coming here. I believe he came here twice. And so he did a really good job on that. But our operations on any state election, we have to operate out of the three C's or outside of the three C's. We can't just be a Columbus, Cleveland, and Cincinnati party. That's not what we have, and the voters will show you what they think about that if that's how you decide to run.
We're not one of the three C's here in Marion. So how does a local candidate overcome that idea that I would say Marion is a Republican county?
Well, you know, I think it's, like I said, Marion voters will surprise you. I think one of the ways that you, I guess, overcome it is it's not necessarily some crazy detailed strategy. You just have to be authentic. You have to come with fresh ideas. You have to be able to go in and say, if you elect me, I'm going to I'm going to work my butt off. And if you think at the end of the day that I didn't, then they'll show you what they think at the ballot box. But Marion County will surprise you. It's not, I don't think it's just a Republican county. I think it's too much of a blanket statement necessarily to say, because I think that come 2019, it'll be tougher to say that at the end of the day.
What will change?
Council, for sure.
You know, it's also interesting, the county. I believe this is the first time in many, many years where all the county commissioners are Republican. It's a weird time. Is there a Donald Trump effect in Marion, Ohio? Because this has all happened since then.
Yes, absolutely. And I think that might be one of those things where I'm not supposed to say there's a Donald Trump effect or something like that, but it's silly not to say that there hasn't been. You know, but that's the thing. I'm not running against Donald Trump, and that, you know, there's some things that you can agree with every politician that runs, and I'm not running against him, and I'm willing to work with anybody to find common ground on anything. So that's the good thing, is that I don't have to run against Donald Trump. I got to run against the first ward councilman.
Well, it's interesting because, and I lay back some of this to President Obama. I think when President Obama came in, not that there wasn't division before, not that Congress and Senate were not divided before, but there has been heavy division under the president, 8 years of President Obama, and the first 3 years of President Trump, first 2 years. And for some reason, that is trickling down to the local ballots for the first time. I didn't think it used to matter locally. As I said, I thought people used to go in and they would vote for who they liked the best. But, boy, people must look at that DNR now.
You know, I think the biggest change is that sometimes local parties and state parties look to the national parties to kind of look for ideas of how to go. So when they see their congressmen and women, and when they see their the federal parties and everything like that get a little bit more divisive, you see the state parties start to turn into that a little bit, and then when the local parties are looking for direction, it turns into that. So it turns into a messaging thing, I believe, that doesn't help. I honestly believe that it's not the voters that have changed overwhelmingly. I think the voters just want to see efficiency. I just think the voters want to see their communities improve, and that's what they have every right to expect.
Do you think there might be some fear, because we do have some young people running this time, that somebody under 25 years of age cannot serve in public office, that we need somebody with experience and life experience and so on and so forth?
Yeah. Well, to answer that, let me give you a little bit of background of me. I grew up in a military family. We moved around all the time. I've lived on an army base. I've had that experience. We came to Marion, Ohio, because that's where both my parents' families are from, when I was in fifth grade. We've lived here. I've worked since I was 17. And as of now, I'm a full-time college student and a full-time, or just about full-time, server at Applebee's. I've worked across the state doing different jobs on all kinds of stuff. I've been a clerk at an office. I've been a cashier. I've been a stocker at a grocery store. It's I have the work experience. I graduate at the end of the fall. I have I'm very close to having like the educational attainment. We have to make sure that we elect people with fresh ideas, and I just want to let the voters know that I have the work experience, I have the life experience, and it won't be a problem.
Another thing that seems to be a trend is on the local level, I never used to see personal attacks like I have seen in the last 3 years locally. Unbelievable. Never used to see that. It may be an off-color remark would be made, but it certainly wasn't part of the campaign. Now we've seen this on local levels. What do you think as we go into this election?
It depends really on what's being said. I think that we have... I'm always in favor of calling a spade a spade. I don't think that we should sugarcoat if we disagree on things. I don't think we should... I think we have to know when to say, to let the voters know when there's something something disingenuous going on, or there's something that they should know about. That being said, I'm also against, a personal attack or anything like that. I think you have to keep it to the campaign, and you have to keep it, you have to try to keep it as factual as possible.
If somebody starts firing at you, though, there used to be an axiom that you can't let that go unanswered. Mm-hmm. But do you fire back is the question.
You know, you have to stay on message. You have to let the voters know. The voters are smart, though. They know when something is just a reaching comment, trying to get attention, trying to get you off your message. So you have to stay on message. You have to be talking to the voters, saying, "This is what I'm going to do for you." You can respond as you see fit, but as long as you're staying on message, I think the voters reward you on election day.
Since you have let people know that this was your intention to run for a councilperson in the first ward on the Democratic side, what's been the response?
Very positive. Very. From council members, from people in the first ward, from people across the city, really. It was somewhat unexpected for it to be this positive. You know, I figured it was going to be a kind of like a 50-50 split. I have a lot of my friends are very, very Republican, and so they're always very they're always giving me crap for something or another. But even they are very supportive of it. A lot of the voters in the first ward who, before I even say anything, before even I give any ideas or anything like that, they're like, "Yes, thanks for running. We need somebody new. We need some fresh ideas. We need someone that's going to be around." And if they don't say it, then as soon as I say, "Hey, I want to know what you want to see done in the ward. I want to know what I can do to make sure that our line of communication stays open." It's been excellent. It's been overwhelmingly positive.
When was the moment you decided you were going to do this?
I think I was definitely thinking about it for a few months in the fall. I've always wanted to serve my community in any capacity. I've done, when I was a freshman in college, I was doing shoe drives, book drives, for elementary school kids. I've done a lot of work around the holidays with helping get meals out to people. But I think what really sealed it for me was the end of November. Around the end of November, I saw what was going on with the Board of Elections and everything like that. And I just decided, I've got to do something. I'm done being on the sidelines with this. That and just all the craziness that's been going on council, I just decided that you can't wait around anymore.
What about the Board of Elections bothered you?
Well, I personally read through a lot of the emails between one of the Board of Elections members and the former Republican chair, who still plays an extremely prominent role in Republican politics. And the way I saw the response and I guess the lack of action almost from the state, and I think there was a lot of comments that made it seem that were very disingenuous, I believe, mm-hmm. that kind of demeaned and tried to make the situation seem smaller than it was. I think there was a comment by the Board of Elections member that claimed that one of the emails was only on a weekend, and in fact that was completely untrue. There was emails, I guess, between them that I read where they were, where he was referring to himself as a comic book sidekick, Kato, I believe, from the Green Hornet, and it was just extremely unprofessional.
Now, this is the director of the Board of Elections.
Yes, was in his emails to John Matthews, and so it's just emails like that that are, in my opinion, have no place in the workplace. And not only that, there was, say, like a comment, or there was an email, there's an email chain where someone or the director sent information to John Matthews. John Matthews responded by saying, oh, I thought you were waiting for me to make a public records request. And he responded with, no, thought I'd send it to you in advance, which is unacceptable in my opinion.
For people who don't understand, why is that a big deal? How does that help the Republican side, which I think is the insinuation that was made?
Well, one of the problems is with your Board of Elections, you kind of want it to be as like open and as fair and as non-political as you can make an election, as you can make a anything involved in an election or politics or anything like that. And so anytime you have someone working there having conversations with a party chair or a former party chair that still clearly plays a prominent role, you would like that to be very clear, and you would like that to be you would like that everything be following the rules. And so, and even in situations where maybe you had a verbal public records request, that just kind of, it seems very, it doesn't pass the smell test, in my opinion.
There have been statements made in the community that the Republican Party, that being an example of it, has their stuff together. And the Democratic Party is not together. They run from each other. They don't run toward each other. There's not a lot of help across the board. Is that accurate? Because that's the perception in the community.
Well, I can't speak for the Republican Party. It's not something I'm good at, so I won't try. But as far as the Democratic Party goes, I know in my experience in a leadership position, I was always willing, if someone gave me a call or proactively, I was always willing to help anybody that needed the help. I think you can't say at the same time that there's a Donald Trump effect, but also that there's like this excellent organizing going on by the local party. I think it's more likely more of a Donald Trump effect than anything. Now, do I think Democrats sometimes get a little hostile towards each other? Yes, for sure. But I think it's never been an election swayer, or even close to an election swayer. I mean, look at last year, like you said, Democrats didn't really top 40%. Do I feel like if someone would have had a slightly better relationship with another Democrat, that would have given them that extra few thousand votes? No, of course not. So at the end of the day, it's really just about turnout operations and organizing, and sometimes you get a boost from national and state politics, and sometimes you don't, and you kind of have to play with the cards that you're dealt.
It's very interesting because in the last 2 years there have been a lot of events that are public record, have been on in the newspaper and covered by radio locally here. When the new council took office in January of 2018, there was a big kerfluffle with the secretary of council being let go, and a lot of that was said to be because of a party affiliation. People made those claims and assertions that that's why it was done, and then a new person was brought in, and she said she was harassed because of her party affiliation, and then we got to the current secretary of council, who I think that's working out okay now, but we went through that. We went through Julie Cagle, the former clerk of courts, resigning her position, and then there being an audit called by Kelly Carr and Mayor Schertzer of the Democratic Party of that office. I have heard nothing since that moment of if there's been any return on that. And recently, last week, the local news was dominated by the mayor's line item veto of the Marion Municipal Court budget, which council did approve on December 20th. Now, council did not overturn his veto, so we have to be, you know, honest about that, but they did approve her $177,000 budget before the mayor line item vetoed it 8 days later. Those events How do you think they leave the community? Because that's in the local paper, it's on the local radio, local people know about that.
It leaves a sour taste in your mouth, even I think to a local voter or to just to someone that like myself, it's just not something you want to see from any party. Anytime you like, with all of the crazy stuff that's been going on, people stepping down, people receiving bonuses and stuff like that, it makes you kind of want to step away from it all a little bit. But at the end of the day, you have to move forward, and you have to be able to say, what can we do to make sure that this doesn't happen? Whether that's from replacing the person or doing what you can in your capacity to fix it. And I think sometimes the answer is that we need to replace the person, and sometimes it's not. I agree with the mayor on his line item veto. I think it was the right thing to do.
Do you think that possibly it should have been brought up at one of the three readings before council passed it on December 20th? Because I think the problem, and we had the mayor on last week, and the issue is, at this point, I don't think it's been solved, we hope it to be solved soon, is that when council passed the budget on December 20th, there was $177,000 in it for the municipal court. The mayor line item vetoed $100,000 out of that on the 28th of December, but also on the 28th of December, Judge Teresa Ballinger from the municipal court sent a court order over for the $177,000. Speaking to the mayor last Thursday, unless something's changed between then and now, and if it has, let me know, he's talking to his legal counsel, and she's talking to her legal counsel. So nobody's backing off this at this point.
Yeah, it's one of those things where we're going to have to see how everything unfolds, but I think the mayor was completely within his... It's my opinion that the mayor was within his power to line item veto it. I think he did the right thing. How it ends up turning out, we'll have to see. But, you know, until it's completely done and we see how everything unfolds, there's nothing really else I can say about it.
Well, I think it's just interesting because do you think that ends up being a favorable or a non-favorable story? Because when I think it was on the front page of the paper twice last week.
Oh, I definitely think it's another one of those things that just leaves a sour taste. And so eventually we're going to start risking, I think not from even just a Democratic voter or Republican voter thing. I think people across the board might say, enough. Like, I don't want to, I every time I open the paper, I'm seeing something else. So we have to, so the city government has to, or not just city government, but we have to be careful of, what we're doing and elect people that we know won't provide such a sour taste.
Well, it's interesting. I mean, we got into a big discussion in the city last year about recycling, and that went up almost until the 11th hour. Now, it will continue, but that was a big issue, and people were concerned about that on the local level.
They definitely were, and I think rightly so. I think really what made people the most upset was the fact that it was even up for question. There was enough people that said, like, I would like to keep my recycling. I'll take the small increase. I think it was, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think it was like 3 cents per household, maybe 30 cents per household. And so once people really figured out the nuts and bolts of it and what was going on, it was more of a, why is it 11:59 and we're just now doing this?
You know, it's interesting, now that I think back about it, and I believe this is true, and again, anybody can correct me if I'm wrong, but the person who you intend to run against, the incumbent, the Republican, Robert Landon, I think at one point was pitching the idea of Marion being a, what was the term? It's not sanctuary city.
A charter
city. Charter city. Charter city. What did you make of that?
I think that in Marion City, there's a lot of things that we need done. And so If I'm making a list of everything that we need to do, from the first ward to the city, the form of government that we choose, on whether or not we decide to just be to stay how we are or form a charter city, shows a disconnection between what voters actually want and what's actually being done on council. I would bet anybody that people on Bahama Drive would rather see a new sidewalk than talk about a charter city, talk about the different ways we can form our government. I guarantee you people on Bermuda would rather talk about different streetlights or some more sidewalks or maybe bus stations for their kids than talk about a charter city.
It is a big idea, though. Now, a charter city, from my understanding, is that we would not have to adhere to state laws. We would make our own. To some degree.
To some degree. I think another big thing of it is about having a city manager, potentially, and everything like that. I tend to be for anything that keeps our city officials as democratically controlled, in the sense that we can vote for them, in the sense that we can keep people to their promises, can make sure that if they're not doing the job, then we can find someone who can. And I think a charter city tends to, in most cases, go away from that.
Do you have any reason to believe that you will not be running against Robert Landon in the fall?
You know, I'm not 100% sure. It's one of those things where I just have to keep planning and knocking like I'm like he's my opponent, and if anything changes, then it changes. But we'll just have to go from there. I can't speak for him.
Do you think it matters anymore on the local level if there is an incumbent, or is it just two people running for an office?
I think incumbency does matter some. You know, you have that name recognition right away. I'm going to have to introduce myself a little bit more, I think. But, you know, I think one of the biggest things that affects it is what kind of job do people think you did? Because if people aren't happy with it, or people are looking around and saying, who's responsible for this, then maybe incumbency isn't the greatest thing.
When you said city council is not meeting, things are being canceled, what's the reasoning behind that?
I know they definitely have things that need to be worked on. They have things they need to pass and everything like that. I think, you know, just one of the biggest factors is there's a lax feeling with the majority, that they feel safe. They feel like that maybe there isn't. Maybe they are just content. Maybe they feel like there's not a lot that they do need to get done. I disagree. I think that there's a lot we can do to make Marion great. I think there's a lot we can do to make Marion to stand out even more. I know our voters, it's my opinion that our voters will show people repercussions for a lax feeling, but I can promise you that anytime that I'm on a council member, that I'm a council member, I won't vote to cancel a meeting.
What are your values and your belief about where Marion can go?
I have always looked at Marion and just seen this ocean of potential. And where we have seen growth, it's been great. But we have, I think, a lot of room to grow. And, you know, sometimes people are a little bit more of downers about Marion. But I don't think that's correct. I think we have so much we can do from the fact that we have a regional campus here. We do have some businesses here. There's places we can grow, especially from the infrastructure perspective, in some of our neighborhoods. We have a downtown that could be revitalized. This is kind of an off to the side story, but I was at the barbershop the other day and somebody made the comment. I can go 25 miles north to Delaware and they have a great downtown. I can go 25 miles south to Upper and they have a great, or 25 miles in that direction and they have a a great downtown. So what's going on with Marion? So I definitely think that there's things that do need fixed, but I look at that and I don't see any reason to be down about it. I just see potential, something that could be molded, something that we can turn into something we can really be proud of.
In your opinion, what is the reason for that? We've had downtown Marion managers, four off the top of my head that I can think of, since I've been around in the media. It's been there, but really, downtown Marion has not been what you would call a vital part of the city. I'm going to go to the 70s, and it may even be a little before that.
Mm-hmm. Well, downtown Marion's just another one of those things that Marion can do to... Could make itself stand out a little bit, could improve on. I think one of the reasons has just been jobs moving, businesses switching sides in Marion, moving to different places across the county and the city. But the downtown, there's no real one reason why the downtown has become the way it has. It has, over the past couple of years, has seen a lot of new businesses pop up. For instance, me and my girlfriend go to Attaboy's probably a little too much, but the downtown has seen a good amount of growth. It's just keeping that going and maybe speeding it up a little bit. And what can we do? What can we do to help small business owners? What can we do to make sure that if you are thinking about opening up shop or moving closer towards it, what can we do to make your life easier as elected officials?
Running in the first ward, running on the Democratic ticket, do you know of anybody that might challenge you in a primary at this point?
I don't. If they do, I welcome it. I think the primaries are always good. I think primaries bring out the best in us. I think primaries are just another opportunity to talk about the issues, talk about what we can do to make the first ward excel.
As we head into 2020, the 100th anniversary year of President Harding being elected, a big year for Marion, Ohio, what's the number one issue facing the first ward? That would be when you would take office if you win in November.
Infrastructure development in the community. There's some people that want to say that want to run, and they want to say, you know what, I'm going to get a rehab center put in, and things like that. That council, it's really just selling snake oil, really, from what a council can do perspective. I think that infrastructure development in the first ward is vital, would help immensely, just from, like I said, from sidewalks to streets to, I think that our school bus stops could use shelters that if you're waiting, the kids can sit under, stand under. These are the things that council can do and council should be doing right now that I think that would be my number one priority.
Kai Mead running on the Democratic ticket, First Ward Council. Kai, hope you come back with us in the future. Thank you for making some time for us today.
Oh, thanks for having me.
Coming up next hour, Anthony Miller running for mayor, 18 years old. Interesting. We'll talk with him in about 15 minutes.
Mary Ellen Withrow.
You've had so many interesting people on.